Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again for Closing the Wealth Gap. The one show, maybe the only show, that shows you how to close the wealth gap in your own life with the man who's done it for many, our wealth coach himself, Tyrone French. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Closing the Wealth Gap. I'm your host, Tyrone French. First and foremost, what I would like for you to do is stay connected with me anywhere in the world. Get my information, resources, calculators, and much more at your fingertips by simply downloading my free digital app and unlock instant access to my platform. Just visit www.tyronefrench.coach or text Tyrone French to 36260. Again, text Tyrone French to 36260. We would love to hear your comments. Just shoot us an email at coach@tyronefrench.com or send your emails to coach@tyronefrench.com or simply leave us a message 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's toll free. The number is 877-296-5192. That number again is 877-296-5192. That being said, without further ado, let's get started. And I see my good friend over there, Mr. Paul Roberts, today. How you doing, Paul?
I'm ready to ride on the road to wealth. I want to catch a ride. The sun's trying to come out.
You always do this to me. I tell you the title of my show, and you get so excited about the title.
I got to spit it out.
And then you just blurt it out there.
I got to spit it out, because how often do I get a chance to ride along on the road to wealth? Usually it's potholes. Usually I'm stuck in the mud. And you're going to take me on the road to wealth here. I'm excited.
Next time, I'm not going to give you the title of my show until just before we go on air.
Save it.
But no, really, there's a path, just like even electricity. There is a pathway, just like when you're looking at circuitry. There's a path, and it follows the path of least resistance. And so it's the same thing with wealth. Wealth has a path. But if you've never been trained, if you don't understand the path, it's difficult to find. And let me give you an example. The reason I talk about training is because when I was in the military, the Army and the Navy, we went through this thing called basic training or boot camp. And a lot of people are familiar with boot camp. But the military is not going to just take a raw recruit and send them out to the fleet or put them in the field without understanding their job. Same thing with corporate America. When they hire somebody, they're just not going to hire you and just throw you in a cubicle somewhere. You're going to go through some type of training. But why is it that when we're talking about financial literacy and financial education, there's no specific training for that?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
I'm telling you that we don't get trained. We had somebody in from Experian, the big credit
yes.
company. They're based here in Orange County.
Yes.
They were on one of our shows. And she's a credit ambassador. In fact, she'd probably be a good one on your show. I'm not thinking about it. She goes around and talks about credit.
Okay.
And she said what we all know. Why don't we get training in high school? Why don't we get training in college? Why don't we get training anywhere? Why doesn't the military train you in financial literacy? Teach you how to clean a rifle or operate an aeronautics system here. But when it comes to your money, you're on your own.
We do a great job of getting people into the workplace.
Yeah.
But we do a lousy job at getting people out of the workplace.
Yeah, or making them... Sometimes maybe succeeds the wrong word, but I think we could teach them how to do the job. But in their own life, most people's finances are a mess. I don't care if you're a doctor, a lawyer, Indian chief, baker, bum. Everybody's got problems in their finances.
You know what the data shows is, and again, we don't just pull numbers out of a hat. The research is there. There's an organization called Operation Hope. And what they did was, again, they went to Experian. And they had them pull the zip codes of, in what do you call them, disenfranchised areas.
Yeah.
The hood, the ghetto. And so what they did was then when they ran the numbers, and what they found was, or what they were searching for were liquor stores, check cashing places, pawn shops, all those zip codes. And when they did a comparison, what they found was most people in those areas, geographical areas, mm-hmm. had credit scores around 500 or just above 500, mm-hmm. which corresponded to the amount of crime in that area. So what they're doing now is they're correlating low credit scores with crime. And we're not just talking about black and brown people. We're talking about poor white people
yeah,
as well.
Right.
Yes.
This is not, I just am flabbergasted by how poor. So most of us, you move out of the house, you're 18, 19, 20, maybe you go to school, maybe you go to trade school, maybe you go to the military. Nobody teaches you about money, and usually you get in trouble at some point along the way here. You spend too much, you borrow too much, or you come out, and all of a sudden you come out of the military, you come out of school, and all of a sudden you say, where's all my money?
And again, people, they may understand a checking account. They may understand a savings account. But anything above that, they really don't understand what's going on. And so now you're in this work environment where you got this job, and if you're lucky enough to have benefits, now they're telling you about this wonderful plan called a 401k.
Yeah.
So you decide that you want to contribute X amount of money to your 401k without really understanding it's a savings plan, and not understanding the fees that are associated with that savings plan,
right,
and then the taxes on the back end, which is a penalty.
Yeah. And you talked before, I know you have, about how you can use that, just like life insurance. Who told? I sold stinking life insurance when I was 21 or 22. Did I ever think of buying any of the stuff I was selling? No. I'm 22. I don't need life insurance. I didn't know it would help me down the road, not just protect my loved ones, but it would give me another asset, another thing I can borrow against, another thing I can leverage or use or whatever, another forced savings account, if you want to think of it that way, depending on what you buy. I never thought about any of that stuff. I was thinking about, I'll say this again, I know I said this on the show, I was about 22, 23, no, I'm sorry, I was older, like in the late 20s, so I'm now working,
right?
I got some stuff, I got a car, I got things, you got a stereo system, whatever I thought was cool, big screen TV. And somebody asked me what my net worth was. Nobody, my parents, my guidance counselors, my employers, nobody had ever asked me what my net worth was. And I realized my net worth was zero. I didn't own a house. I didn't own the car.
That's pretty good. Normally, it's less than zero.
Yeah, I was proud it
below
wasn't.
Below zero.
And I realized even the women I dated, I rented them. There was nothing I owned. They don't own women, but there was nothing I had a long-term investment
no
in.
No marriage, you know? Yeah. No commitments, no relationship.
Yeah, it was just everything was just month to month.
Yes, yes. But we're acclimated into a system that becomes so normal that we begin to... The circumstances begin to dictate how we should feel and how we should move. And I'll give you an example. Everything that you see in the physical world is a result.
Is a result?
It's all it is a result. It's just like when you look at
explain that one.
Cause and effect.
Okay.
You look at there's a cause which is going to produce a corresponding effect.
Right.
Everything in the physical universe is a result. It's a byproduct
of something that
happened based on a period of time.
But most of us say it's stuff that I had no control over. It happened to me.
What I'm trying to, the point that I'm trying to make is everything happens by design. There are no accidents.
Yeah, I know you really believe that. Most of us think it's the opposite. They think the world is just completely accidental. Whether I get this job or the next one, where I'm born, the luck, whether somebody, I run into somebody and they hire me, whether so much of it we'd think is beyond our control.
Think about this. Let's say if there's a car accident. Two cars tried to occupy the same space at the same time.
Right.
That's a law. You can't do that. You're violating the law. So now you get one of the insurance.
I've never heard an accident described that way.
Yes.
The two cars tried to occupy the same space at the same time. The laws of physics said you can't do that.
So again, everything is driven by law. And we're having a conversation, a light conversation. We're chuckling about it. But it's designed by law. So now you have an investigator that's going to go out and survey that accident. And what are they looking for? The cause.
Yeah.
They're looking for the cause of the accident. They already know what the effect is.
Yeah.
They already know what the result is. Yeah. So my point is, most people focus on the result without focusing on the cause. And that's why they keep getting the same thing. The same thing is happening over and over again. And they think that it's happening by accident when actually they could have done something months ago, even years ago. And all of a sudden, that thing, that result manifests out of nowhere. You assume that it's out of nowhere. But no, you put the wheels in force or in action weeks, months, years prior to that. So you don't just wake up one day homeless.
Yeah.
You don't wake up one day broke.
You don't wake up one day 400 pounds.
Yeah.
You don't have $4 million in debt or whatever. Yeah.
You know, even right now, Tyrone French is getting ready to go on a weight loss program.
Okay.
Because I'm about 40 pounds overweight.
Okay.
Now, again, I don't look bad, but no. I just know I'm carrying too much weight.
Right.
And it's in my chest, it's in my shoulders, it's in my arms. So it makes me menacing to certain individuals. But I
bigger.
Know it makes me bigger, but I know that I'm carrying too much weight. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go on a weight program because I know how to lose the weight. I know how to exercise. I don't have to go to a gym. I don't have to hire a coach. I know exactly what I need to do to lose the weight. But here's the thing. It would have been much easier for me not to put the weight on.
Yeah, harder to take it off.
Yeah. So I'm dealing with the effects of all of the of a habit that I changed about 4 years ago.
Too many Fritos or Doritos or a little extra cupcake.
Yes. And I'll tell you when it happened. It happened in 19 when my dad died.
Yeah, that's...
And it right. just... there was a shift. There was a... And I could feel it. It was certain things that they just weren't important anymore.
Yeah.
Certain things I just didn't need to focus on anymore. It's like I relaxed. I took a deep breath. And said, wait a minute, a lot of the stuff that I'm doing, I don't need to do these things.
I'm going
to
bring me in. I didn't have me in the picture here. All right, everybody's wondering, who's this voice coming in? Bring me into the picture so you can see me. I'm just sitting back. So the problem with your show is I'm supposed to be engineering it and chiming in once in a while. It gets so interesting, I forget to do some of the basic duties I'm supposed to do here.
Well, thank God it's a podcast. You know.
My father, late father, used to say, the harder you work, the luckier you get. It was just one of his two or three favorite sayings.
There's some truth to that.
And he grew up hard. He grew up poor. He grew up in the Polish ghetto in Detroit. And mother died, raised by immigrants, on and on, sad stories. He pulled himself up by his bootstraps. And he couldn't understand why everybody couldn't do that.
I felt the same way for a while until I really put myself in somebody else's position. I grew up with two parents,
mm-hmm.
two-parent household, and both my parents worked until my mother decided that she wasn't going to work anymore, and just looked at my dad and put her hand on her hip and said, I'm not working anymore.
That's it.
We're looking, it's like a tennis match. We're looking at him, we're looking at her.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
And guess who won?
Always.
Yeah, so my dad, he had to step up his game, and so what it modeled the type of person that he expected as us to be his boys as far as men. But he worked a lot. My dad worked a lot. And
because he came from the generation that the more you work, the more you make.
Exactly. But for me, like I said, I realized trading time for money, trading labor for dollars, mm-hmm. it just didn't sit well with me. Because, again, he had money, but he didn't have any time freedom. He missed the football games, the basketball games.
My dad did, too.
He missed I was in band. He missed the times when we were performing at halftime in the football game because he was constantly working. But in his mind, he had a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And taking care of that responsibility made him whole.
Mm-hmm.
He did what he was supposed to do. He did his job. But a lot of times, I would just wish my dad was there.
Amen. My dad was the same way. He worked long hours and provided well. Sometimes I felt like saying, cut back a little bit on the work. I'll take a little less if I could just get a little more of you.
Yeah. So, again, we're talking about this show as far as the way to wealth and as far as training. And you don't do anything without having the proper training. There's a book called The Richest Man in Babylon.
You keep referencing that over and over.
I'm gonna reference it over and over and over again because it's one of the best books that was ever written about personal finance and how to get started. It's a blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
And if you follow this book, follow the wisdom in this book, and it has a logical conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a formula in the book. Just like I said, everything follows law.
Mm-hmm.
Wealth follows the same thing. It's based on certain formulas.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what you need to do is pay yourself first.
You always say
first
that.
First and foremost.
Yeah. I pay myself last. Everybody else has got their hand out. And at the end, I look back and I see what's left. And there's not much.
But it's the hardest thing for anybody to do, especially when you don't have a spending plan.
Yeah, wow.
And people say, I'm already, there's too much month at the end of my money, so how can I pay myself first? Basically, it's a mindset shift.
My wife has a spending plan. It's a wonderful one. She says, how much money we got in the bank? And I say, then she goes and spends it. We got enough for this? Yeah? Okay.
So this is how you start. You need to set a goal. And I know a lot of people, this is going to sound too academic, but the reality is that everything, there's an order to everything. And so there's a way of doing certain things. So you have to set a goal based on how much money am I going to pay myself every time I get paid. Mm-hmm. Now, the standard is 10%. Mm-hmm. And like I said, nobody can test. No financial advisor can contest what I'm about to say. They'll all shake their head in up and down in unison. The standard is 10%. But if you can't start with 10%, start with 1%. Start with 5%. Start with 7%. See, I don't care what the percentage is. What I care about is that you do it.
Yeah.
Because what you're doing is you're establishing a habit. See, right now you have a habit of spending everything.
Yeah.
But you have to create the habit of paying yourself first. And just once you have those small little successes, and you've been doing this for a while, just like going to the gym. When you first start out, your body's not going to want to do it.
Mm-mm.
And it's going to be trying to talk its way out of doing it. But that's when you have to take control. You have to take command, and you have to tell yourself, this is what we're going to do. And at the end of that session, you are so glad that you took that program and you hit override.
Yeah.
And you did the thing that you said that you were going to do. That's a small success. So if you're saving, I don't care, 1% or 5% of your income just to start, eventually what's going to happen is you're going to start doing it automatically. Mm. And then you're going to start looking at things in your budget that are totally unnecessary.
Oh, we all got those.
Yeah.
We think, I don't have any money. Yeah, because did you need to buy that Starbucks every day? My daughter gets a Starbucks every day.
It's a necessity until it's not.
Yeah.
But again, that's a mindset. It's a necessity until it's not.
So let me give you another question. Because I find the few times I save, it's usually for a goal. I want to buy something. I want to go somewhere. I want to move somewhere. There's something I have in mind. I put that little picture up, and every day I look at it and say, I'm going to have that car. I'm going to have the home. Now, I know that sounds silly. You got a bigger goals than that. But
no, you're right on track.
But if I can picture what it's for, if it's just a dollar, if it's just an entry in my bank book, if it's just numbers on a spreadsheet, it doesn't mean much to me.
Can I tell you why you think that way?
Okay, please.
In the United States, and this is going to shock some people, but again, the numbers can't be denied.
We're not making it up, folks.
We're not making this up. In the United States, you have this thing called, we have an economy, and you have a gross domestic product. So the United States is the number one economy in the world.
We produce more gross stuff than anybody else.
But guess what the largest line item is as far as the GDP in the United States? Consumer spending.
Oh, yes.
It represents 70% of the GDP in the United States.
As opposed to countries like in Asia where they don't have a giant middle class, they don't have a giant consumer economy. So they're making money and they're trying to stimulate. China's trying to grow the middle class. Not just because it looks good and people like it, they rise out of poverty, but so they'll spend money.
So guess who you are? It's going to be like a culture shock, but I'm going to tell you
who
you are.
This whole show is a shock every time.
I'm going to tell you who you are because most people don't know who they are in the economy. They don't know their position, just like being on a chessboard.
Or on a team. What's your position?
You are a consumer.
Yeah.
You're a consumer. Now, here's the thing. I'm not telling you anything that you haven't heard and that you don't know. It just didn't register.
Yeah.
So what do consumers do?
Consume.
They consume. So it's the same thing as having a hammer. Once you understand the purpose of the hammer and you know you got a hammer, so it's identified. This is a hammer. This is an identity. My name is Tyrone French. That's my identity.
Fred the Hammer Smith. What was that guy? There's some football player.
What is the purpose of the hammer? So when you understand that you are a consumer and in the economy, your purpose is to consume, then you begin to understand, wait a minute, I have control over what I consume and how much I consume.
I remember during the second Bush administration, there was an economic downturn. And the president literally came out and was blasted for this and said, what do you tell everybody right now? Economy's pulled back. People are in trouble. He said, go out and buy some.
Exactly.
Start consuming again. We'll consume our way back to prosperity.
Do Do you think during COVID that the United States government gave people this money out of the goodness of their heart?
You mean they just wanted us to keep consuming?
They needed us. The economy needs you to keep spending money. Let me give you another example. There's a holiday in every single month of the year.
Yeah, I've noticed that. But it didn't used to be when I was a kid. I think there's only one or two months that there isn't. Just about every month has a holiday.
And the guarantee that to keep this ball rolling, now you have a personal holiday, which is a birthday or an anniversary.
Or these made-up ones, Valentine's Day.
All of these things that are getting you to do what? Spend money.
Yeah.
And so when we say, where's all my money going? I don't have enough money. I can't pay myself first. It's because you're conditioned to give all of your money away. You are a consumer. So once you recognize
that. I'm a charity.
Once,
I'm a charity. I'm just designed to give it all away.
But again, you have control over that narrative. When you understand that you have to pay yourself first and knowing that the dollar amount or the percentage is 10%, but knowing that you want to get started, maybe you can't afford to do 10%, do a dollar, do $5, do $10.
Now,
and then I got to finish this because you talked about the goal. I want to save
for something. If I can visualize it, it's easier to force me.
The pattern is insurance, savings, and investments. So what you're doing is you're saving this money so now you can afford to buy the insurance, which is your foundation. Because again, if you're not here to produce income and something happens to you, it could devastate your family.
Right. Or so you get sick.
You get sick or whatever. Right. So it's easier to purchase some type of risk. All insurance is risk management. So you're just managing your risk. So now you can
afford. Covering your bets.
You're covering. That's right. So once you're doing that, then you're saving for the next goal, meaning that now you have a reserve. Because if something were to happen, let's say if you lose your source of income, most people can't even come up with $400 for an emergency.
I know.
The standard is to have anywhere between 3 to 6 months of living expenses in a savings.
That I do. I've always had that. It makes me feel better as a self-employed person to know that if I really had to, I could go 3 or 6 months without a crisis.
But here's the kicker. Most people, when they do say that, when they have that reserve, they're saving in fiat currency.
Well, yeah.
They're saving in dollars.
Oh, you're going to go down that rabbit hole again here. So this little piece of paper that I got in my hand isn't worth $1 a year from now or 2 years now or 5 years now?
It's being devalued. So the longer you save and with that mindset, you're going to be losing money because it doesn't keep pace with inflation. We got this thing called a consumer price index, which is supposed to measure inflation.
Right.
And so what they'll say, inflation is about 4%. That's not true. That's what they want you to think. Inflation is more like 10-12%.
Real?
Yeah, because again, even at 4%, if your money is not making 4%, it's losing value.
Yeah. If it's just sitting in the bank and they're not
many. So what are they giving you? 1%.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it's losing value. And then because it's your money is a liability to the bank, they have to pay you.
So can I ask you, a coach, the one question nobody can ever explain to me? I never understand when you get into macroeconomics and how the economy works. I read over and over again that a little bit of inflation is good. They want it to stay around 3-4%. They want prices to go up in goods and everything else. They want to see this thing slowly inflate. They don't want huge inflation, 50%, 100%, that's terrible. And then it went zero. And I'm like, I want zero. I want the dollar to be worth $1 a year from now or 5 years from now.
The laws are written for the rich by the rich.
Yeah.
So guess what? Guess what wealthy people need? Inflation.
Why?
Because when you borrow money, that money is devalued over a period of time, so you're not paying back as much. In the future, you're making more dollars, which are worth less, but the loan has been frozen. So give $30,000 in 1970.
Right.
It's not the same as $30,000 in 2024.
No, because $30,000 would buy you a really nice car in 1970, and it gets you a really crappy car now.
But think about it. $30,000 in 1970, you had to work your butt off.
Oh.
To pay for whatever. Well, let's say if it was a mortgage, you had to work your butt off to maintain. Well, $30,000 in 2024, some people are making that a month.
Yeah.
So you're definitely making four times that amount in a year. So guess what you can do? Guess what happens to the debt? The debt was devalued. So going back to inflation. If knowing that the true inflation rate is about 10 to 12%, the reason that you come up with that number, and again, I'm not making this up. You can go to the Federal Reserve website and check it out. What they do, and actually they have these clocks. Have you ever seen one of these?
Debt clock.
The debt clock, yeah. Yeah. All the numbers are right there. You can just Google debt clock, okay? All the numbers are right there. But what you do is you take the GDP and you divide that number by the currency, the dollars that are in circulation. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to give you the true inflation rate.
Interesting. All right, so here's really, we're coming down to the end. Here's what I need. Maybe others need this too. I don't need advice. I don't need information. I need action. And the only thing that gets me off my butt to go to the gym, the only thing that gets me to do something is what you've done many times. I need a boot camp. I need somebody to kick my butt.
You need to be trained.
I need to be trained, and I need to be motivated, and I need to be held accountable. I need a coach. I need somebody on top of me that not only shows me the way, but keeps pushing me along the way.
Can I tell you this? Motivation is what gets you off the dime.
Yeah.
But inspiration is what keeps you going.
Oh, there you go. I like that.
Motivation will get you out the foxhole. The sergeant with the Beretta in his hand.
Yeah, run!
Yeah, that'll get you out the foxhole. But it's the inspiration that'll keep you going. Mm-hmm. And so you begin to encourage yourself. And so once you start seeing that growth, once you start seeing those successes, those small little successes, then you begin to move forward. And so going back to the goal as far as the savings, you go from insurance to savings to investment. So once you've covered the bases, meaning that you got enough life insurance if something were to happen to you.
Right.
Now you have the savings where you got 3 to 6 months savings. And for me, it's precious metals because it's a hedge against inflation.
Right.
Once you've done that, now you're in a position to invest.
Yeah.
And see, everything, every one of those steps is intentional. It has a purpose, and you put a time limit on it, and you can see the success.
We have a time limit on this show, so tell me about the boot camp. You got a boot camp coming up. You're a coach. You were in the military, two services. I never met anybody that went in through one and came back and said, let me try the other one.
I tell you what, you can go to my website. It's tfwealthclub.com.
tfwealthclub.com.
I created my own wealth club. Just like you go to the health club to lose weight.
Ooh, I like that.
I have a wealth club.
I like that. I want to get healthy. Why don't I want to get wealthy?
And what there's a corresponding my app. I tell people to get my digital app, my mobile app, but the Wealth Club and the app goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And it's like when you go to a restaurant and they give you the little timer, the little thing, and you go and sit down and it's telling you when your food is ready. You can just go on about your business, and all of a sudden it'll just beep. My programs tell you when you're on track financially. It'll send you an email. And it'll give you a letter grade, whether it's A plus, A minus, B plus. It'll tell you exactly where you are. And then it's going to tell you the next step to take. Mm-hmm. And me as the coach, I'm just sitting there as an observer, looking at your situation and telling you about your technique. Mm-hmm. This is what you're doing wrong.
You're swinging
this is
wrong.
What you should add. Right. This is what you should take
your
away.
Your backswing's a little rusty here.
I need you to become more efficient. Now you can hit it out the park, but I want to make sure that you don't injure yourself while you're doing it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Totally. I'm going to give you, we always often end on a religious note because you grew up in a religious household and have a strong religious background, as do I. And I always marvel at mostly evangelicals who are taught from very young age, and in many cases do this, to tithe.
Yes.
To give 10% of whatever you make to God. And it's hard. It's easy. I don't tithe. And I'm always marvel at people, because I've had those moments we all have when I'm like, I just got barely enough to go by, and I'm supposed to pull 10% out and go in a negative and trust that this is going to give it to some unknown entity or to God, and somehow this is going to come back and pay back or investment. But people do. Why can't we, in that same analogy, if you tithe, why can't you tithe to yourself?
Actually, the word tithe actually means tenth.
It does? See, I never knew that.
It actually means 10th. Yeah, look it up. It actually means 10th.
Okay.
So basically, the term pay yourself first mm-hmm. came from the Bible. Because, you're supposed to tithe 10% to the Lord.
Right.
But in Deuteronomy chapter 14, it explains to you how to do it. Most churches, they do it wrong. And that's why their members suffer. The church, the minister is doing well, the preacher, the pastor is doing right. But the congregation is suffering. Why? Because they're doing it wrong. If they go back and read, again, we're not pulling this stuff out of a hat. Go and read Deuteronomy chapter 14 and chapter 15. Not a verse, but read the entire chapter.
Okay.
It'll tell you, and I'm going to paraphrase, but when it's telling you the first tenth, that's yours. Mm. That belongs to you.
Mm.
To show how generous God is. He's saying, I want you to do whatever you want to do with it. And if it's, you know, if you got cattle, if you got grain or whatever, if it's too much to carry to go to the place where I designated you to go, it says specifically, turn it into money. And then when you get there, buy the thing that's going to make you happy and do it into your heart's content.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first type. The second tenth, he said the same thing. Do whatever you want to do with it. It's the third tithe.
Mm.
That's the one that you're supposed to bring to the storehouse
mm-hmm.
because the priest and the Levites mm-hmm. didn't have an inheritance. So that money is to go to the church
mm-hmm.
and for the orphans and for the widows.
Mm-hmm.
The problem in Jeremiah, not Jeremiah, but I think it was me out here, Paul. There's a scripture.
Yeah. You're on a roll here.
Man robbed God? How has he robbed me in tithes and offering?
Don't know that one.
I can't remember the book right now. It's going to come. The minute we go off air, I'm going to remember what the book is.
I'm Catholic. We never memorized
it. But the reason that's in there, maybe it's Malachi. I think it's Malachi.
Okay.
But it says, has a man robbed me? How has he robbed me in tithes and offering? What he's saying is that you took the first tithe, you took the second tithe, and you also took the third tithe.
Kept coming.
That's how you robbed me. Because you're not doing what I'm telling you to do. But if you do that, if you pay yourself first, if you tie to yourself,
mm-hmm.
your financial woes will disappear. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight.
No.
But you're going to begin to see your storehouses being filled.
I'm just saying there are people listening to this podcast who probably grew up in a church like you did. And going to church is important. And certainly in the community you grew up in, the community I grew up in. And part of that was...
You're talking like I had a choice.
No, that's true. None of us did. Come on, you're going to this thing. Yeah, I went even more because I'm Catholic. So we had to go to special schools. We went to Catholic school, and the nuns would come in and wrap you on the knuckles and stuff here. A friend of mine said, I did my time in jail. I don't ever go back to that again. Anyway,
I did the military to get away from that.
All I'm saying is we were taught and we observed people who didn't have a lot.
Yes.
Giving money automatically without thought. I could use it. I'd like to do something else with it, but it was an automatic gift. I got to do this. And it became part of their whole process here. Why can't we build one in for ourselves?
Exactly. Exactly. Pay yourself first or tithe to yourself first. And it's a law. And if you do that, your mindset is going to shift. You're going to begin to see the growth and it's going to become fun. You're going to create a habit. And then you're going to look back and say, why wasn't I doing this years ago?
Yeah, right.
Because it becomes easier and easier over time.
Yeah. It's easy to find you. How do they find you?
What I want you to do, again, I want you to go to www.tyronefrench.coach. I want you to download my digital app or text Tyrone French to 36260. Send us your emails. Let us know what you think about the show. Just go to coach@tyronefrench.com. You can call us, leave a message 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, toll free at 877-296-5192. And I always want you to remember that Tyrone French is closing the wealth gap.
That's our show for this week, Closing the Wealth Gap. The one show, the only show that shows you how to take control of your financial future. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OCTalkRadio.net.